Welcome to Mintel Little Conversation, real conversations with actionable insights into what consumers want and why. I'm Lynn Dornblaser, Principal Consultant at Mintel, and today we're discussing women's sports. I'm joined by Nicole Bond, who's Associate Director of Marketing Strategy at Compare Media, and also Emma Lasek, who is a consultant on the Mintel consulting team. So there's a lot to talk about when it comes to women's sports. And I'm just going to open it up really wide to start. Why is this important to talk about now? What's going on?
I'll kick that off. I think that there is an undeniable surge in momentum around women's sports right now, not only with some of the greatness that we're seeing on the individual athlete level, but just the uptick in interest we're seeing around all of the leagues and opportunities to watch women's sports. I think we're seeing that surge because not that it didn't exist before, not that the interest in women's sports wasn't there before, there was just no coverage for it. So it's like if a tree falls in a forest, does anyone actually hear it situation? And I think that's what we're seeing now is, you know, women's sports just breaking records left and right. I mean, Nebraska filled up an entire football stadium for the women's volleyball game. So it's, if we give women's sports that opportunity to get that viewership, to get that engagement, they're delivering at every turn. And I think that's what's really driving a lot of this impact.
Really, Nicole. I mean, the momentum has been there the whole time. It's been constantly increasing. But again, it's those opportunities that availability to have the spotlight and actually get that talent shining through.
Do you think Caitlin Clark has been a bit of a catalyst for all of this or simply an example of what's happening?
I think both things can be true. I think that what she did was just like, or has and continues to do, is undeniable greatness, right? Like, she is taking a skill that is comparable to what you see in the men's game and just blowing it out of the water, breaking records left and right. And it's something that is getting coverage, though. If that was all happening when, you know, Kelsey Plum broke the scoring record when she was at Washington, when Breonna Stewart won, you know, 4 NCAA championships back to back to back, they would have had that same polarizing view, not polarizing, but like attraction. And we didn't see it then because it wasn't talked about then. So you had to be in the know to find out versus now when Caitlin Clark was doing her thing, like you couldn't turn on ESPN and not hear them talking about her. So with that conversation becomes visibility, becomes like attention. And that attention then creates more conversations. And so I think it kind of is a snowball effect. And, you know, I think social media and all those things have really helped put the spotlight on Caitlin Clark. But she's also one that's like delivered at every point in time. When the eyeballs are on her, like the game is better. And so I think it's just been kind of a two-sided coin. But it's because we're talking about it. We're talking about it. ESPN's talking about it. You know, every article is talking about, you know, what she's doing and how she's doing it. And that's just visibility that we didn't see 5, 10, mm-hmm. 20 years ago.
Absolutely. A really impressive athlete. And also, you know, NIL definitely also helped bring that spotlight onto her. I mean, we're coming out to year 2 of being able to have that spotlight onto these collegiate athletes and really, you know, being able to show viewership about their talent, what they can bring to the table.
You know, for someone who's not as deep into sports as the two of you, even I know who Caitlin Clark is. So I think that really illustrates how pervasive the message is right now. So given this heightened focus and the heightened interest in women's sports, why is it important now for brands to be thinking about this and to be doing something about it?
I mean, as obviously momentum keeps building, we have all this exposure, all these opportunities to really highlight these female athletes. The reality is that price of entry will increase. You know, I feel that brands with this vision, with that want to be proactive, this is the time right now to move into that area and sort of seize the lead that women's sports is sort of gaining this momentum.
I totally agree with that. And I think something that we've always heard around women's sports is that like, it's not worth it. The return's not good enough. And it's just simply not true. We're seeing so much kind of value in the brands that are playing in that space really well right now. Ally, Aflac, like they are continuing to like turn around and say like, this investment is worth it. It is, you know, Ally, for example, like their brand awareness uptick was like 30% when they started investing more in women's sports. And so when it comes to women's sports and why you want to invest in it now, it's because, well, one, we have the proof behind it, where you can't no longer say that no one watches women's sports. Like, that is outrageous. The women's national championship game basketball had 4 million more viewers than the men's this year. Like, that is a significant number. And so that tried and true, you know, no one watches women's sports, why would we invest in that inventory? It's just wrong. And what we're seeing is, as Emma mentioned, that inventory is actually cheaper. So, and it won't be forever, because the more attention, the more brands get involved, the more that these things kind of elevate, and then it becomes more expensive. So you're able to get a lot of eyeballs in a place where consumers want, like, they want to see women's sports. They want to see brands invested in it that care. So if you can get in now and do it in the right way, you're not only driving, you know, awareness for your brand, but you're also impacting the sports, the fans, and, you know, your ROI at the end of the day. You know, we got to talk to our CFOs as marketers. So I think that helps as well.
And also, reality is, as women's sports grows, so does the female base, you know, and female fans are the most innovative and committed fans out there and make up a lot of that consumer spending power. So that's also just another factor that's going into it.
So if it's essential for brands to get involved in backing women's sports now, what's the best thing for them to do? What should they do? What should they make sure that they don't do?
Wow, that's a loaded question, but a really great one. I think that there is a lot of different ways that brands can enter this space. The ones that are entering it and, like, really driving impact and making the most of the opportunity are not just doing it through advertising. Like, when we talk about Ally, it's always just crazy to me to hear the numbers and what they've done, but they've called it, like, the prime timeification of women's sports. So they are increasing their media buys and actually, like, working with networks to essentially get that prime time spot for the sport. So they're a big NWSL partner, and and what we saw is that they pushed CBS to like make that championship game like a primetime slot, and viewership was up 71% year over year. So they are actively engaging and saying, not only are we putting dollars behind this to sponsor it, to pick up lower cost inventory, to kind of capitalize on this momentum, but we're going to drive change. Like, we're going to really impact this game. And I think that's something that we're seeing across the board with the brands that are doing it really well right now.
It's not just about the athletes. It's about how can brands support that sport? How can brands support that commitment and community that is being built around these female teams?
What are some of the things you think that they can do to support those teams?
So I would say, Aflac is another great example. There was an incident in 2022 at one of the preseason women's basketball like tournaments where a player fell, hit her head, and ended up having to wait like 45 minutes for an ambulance to come and like address the situation. That would absolutely never happen on the men's side of the game. And so Aflac, being in supplemental health, they're like, we got to close this gap. And so they started, pulled inventory from men's March Madness, put it into women's, and really started investing not only with their dollars, but they took that like one step further. So this year they partnered with Together, which is a brand like that Alex Morgan is a part of, Sue Bird, and it's really meant to drive that viewership and engagement around women's sports. And this year they hosted viewing parties at, like, you know, there's the sports bra in Oregon where it's all women's sports all the time. And so they're creating community. So they're not just there. They're not just kind of passively investing. They are really leaning into this space and giving consumers the opportunity to engage with each other, to build community, and are serving as kind of a catalyst for those conversations that are happening around the women's game.
You know, as you talk about that, I'm reminded of looking back to the past and thinking a little bit about extreme sports. When extreme sports were new, we saw partnerships that were a little bit different. You know, Red Bull was so ingrained with those extreme sports. It seemed like Red Bull itself created that segment in the sports industry, at least to an onlooker. That's what it felt like a little bit. Does it feel like women's sports is at that point now where it's got the opportunity to partner with the right companies to really help the whole women's sports market explode? Does it feel like that's the inflection point we're at right now?
We have to keep going back to media coverage because it is kind of at like the crossing point of what's happening in women's sports and like where the future will be. And when a lot of the disparities between men and women's March Madness, I mean, the women's tournament wasn't even called March Madness until a couple of years ago. Like, the disparities became very apparent, and everyone's like, well, the women's tournament doesn't make as much money. And it's like, the contract that was signed to get the women's games on TV was significantly less than what they charge for the men. Same thing when it comes to the WNBA, because they, again, the contract value on their network rights was significantly lower than it is on the men's game. And it's not up for renewal until 2025. So when that hits, the more brands that are investing in that space or showing interest in that space, the more coverage and like the higher that contract value can go up, which then benefits the players, it benefits the league, it benefits the viewerships, and it's kind of that self-fulfilling prophecy. So I think it now is a great time to get involved in it for sure.
Definitely, like, new territories now coming up in this whole realm of sponsorship. And yeah, like you said, Nicole, it's sort of next few years is when we're really going to see it exacerbated and sped up.
It feels like the smart route to take is what, Nicole, you've mentioned with Aflac. Not just here's money, but here's a partnership. What are some of the brands that are doing that, or you think, the two of you, that you think should be doing that?
I think one that really pops up for me is Under Armour. And the reason I'm going to pull in Under Armour is because when we want to play in women's sports, like, everyone that is actively involved in it knows that there's so much work to be done. It's not just signing the largest contract. It's not just, you know, signing the deal that's going to give you the shoe. It's like, no, I want to impact this game. I want to grow the game. I want to grow women's sports. And I really like Under Armour because they have partnered with Kelsey Plum, who is a WNBA star. And essentially, one of the things was I wanted to partner with someone that was aligned with my values and help me impact the game. And so Under Armour, I think it's the second year, 2024, second year, where they do what's called like Kelsey Plum's dog class. So they bring in guards from across the country that essentially is like, it's really hard to transition from the collegiate game to the pro game. So if I can give you access to my network, to my training, to, you know, learning from me, I'm helping you kind of jump a gap that I really struggled through. And Under Armour's like, you got it. Like, let's do it. Let's bring it to life. And so I think when it's playing in women's sports right now, it's more than just like advertising. The ones that are doing it really well are connecting with the athletes and understanding what is important to you. How do we grow this game together and working through those conversations and actually like making it happen?
Definitely. I feel like Puma is another one that last year sort of made some headlines of sponsoring LSU basketball player Johnson on a shoe deal. They then followed signing another 10 additional Puma athletes from soccer, golf, different sports. And then they actually brought them all together and held this first ever clinic for International Day of Girl. Again, sort of these initiatives that are supporting female athletes and just trying to empower that side of things.
And I think, Ken, I'm just talking about, you know, what do consumers feel about this, right? Like, we're trying to, like, connect with consumers. And I came across some research that said nearly 3/4 of consumers think that brands should equally sponsor men and women's sports. Like, put that equal investment behind it and really kind of speak to it. But something that kind of was really interesting when looking at Ally, because they had a 50-50 pledge. They came out and said, right now we're spending 80-20. We want to switch to 50-50. And they have increased their investment like 300%. And they've come out and said, we essentially have no more inventory to buy. There's not enough media cut like spots for us to put the dollars behind to have our balance sheet equal out. And so, you know, they've done great work. I think they're sitting at 60-40 the last that I checked. But I found that, consumers want the coverage. They want more access. Like, brands are trying to do it. And we're just, you know, seeing kind of this tipping point of making that happen for brands, for consumers, and for all of these individual leagues.
What do you think's ahead for women's sports, especially when it comes to brand involvement and what brands need to be thinking about today to plan for 5 years from now, let's say?
I think it's definitely opportunities, right? Like Nicole just sort of mentioned, is having these opportunities where brands can get involved, these touch points that they can reach and they can have this engagement. I feel like in the next couple of years, you know, I mean, I feel that a lot of these, I feel like a lot of these championships, a lot of these networks, a lot of these national sort of entities are sort of hearing this desire, this demand that's being created for women's sports. And as stuff begins to change, I think it's really important for brands to find those touch points, find those way in, to really be able to interact.
I absolutely agree with that. And I think we've kind of hit on it a bit, but I think the future of it with women's sports and the growth that is still on the table for it will really be about giving the athletes the platform, investing in that to make that platform bigger, and then giving them the respect they deserve. I think that is something that will be really interesting when we look at women's sports and how it continues to grow, and the attention that it continues to drive, and the conversations even that like are being had around the games, right? I think that there's so much work to be done in that space, but I really think those that stand out over the next 5-year period and are really making waves within this space will be leaning into some of the things that are, you know, beyond the game, that live beyond like what's happening on the court. And I think that'll be really impactful as we go.
I think fan engagement and social media outreach as well is going to be extremely important. I feel that because young athletes haven't had that exposure, haven't had the same opportunities, they've really had to excel in engagement and really sort of master that avenue. I feel like that mm-hmm. would be another way in for sort of brands to be able to not only communicate with athletes, but like to get in touch with these communities and this fan base that's also exponentially growing.
I really love that point because you made me like a light bulb go off. Like, we've seen so much happen around men's sports and how, you know, the Super Bowl, like there's a whole week leading up to that as a celebration. And a lot of that hasn't been done on the women's side of things. So there's so many opportunities for brands to kind of enter and do it in a way that's like, wow, like showing up in an unexpected place in an unexpected way and doing it in a way that, one, like improves that experience for everyone involved, two, like shows kind of how your brand is invested and committed. And it's just this kind of a land of opportunity, if you will, to like make an impact, to like have a presence, because right now the standard is so low that like to enter this space to really drive impact, like you just have to be intentional and like show up in a big and exciting way. And that will go a long way over the next 5 years. So I think that we'll start to see some really cool on-site activations or in-game kind of sponsorships and stuff. So I think there's a huge opportunity for new and exciting things in women's sports because we just haven't seen it in the same way as we have on the men's side of the game.
One of the things you said is just showing up, brands to show up and be there and just be in that realm. It's most important.
You know, something that stands out to me listening to the two of you talk, it feels like in a way it's different than with men's sports and that the importance of building an authentic relationship. It feels like brands need to build that truly authentic relationship with the sport as opposed to just, here's the money, here's the advertisement. Those brands who are the advertisers then also need to find ways to build that authentic relationship with all the viewers as well. Does it feel different to you as well? It feels a little different to me that the approach needs to be a little bit different than what we've seen with men's sports.
I think so, for sure. Because I mean, I think a lot of the women's leagues are younger, right? I mean, the WNBA has been around for a fraction of the time as the NBA. So there is a lot of nurturing that needs to happen to grow these sports, to grow kind of the fandoms, the viewership, et cetera, because they're young. So like we, you know, as fans, as brands, as marketers have to like help them grow up, if you will. And so they need a little bit more fine tuning, fine touching, like making sure that we are moving the sport forward. Whereas a lot of the men's games are just, they're there. They've reached kind of like a great peak. So you're right. Like you still can go a long way in the men's game by like partnering with the athlete and driving impact in a, you know, an impactful way for sure. But it's not as high touch as like what I think the women's game and games will need to get to those levels over the next, you know, 5, 10, 25, 50 years.
I think authenticity is just a big part of that process, and what brands need to do is appear genuine, to really, like you said, Nicole, earlier, be intentional, thoughtful, you know. This is definitely a big deal, and yeah, consumers want authenticity now more than ever.
I think it'll be really interesting because, you know, with marketing, I feel like I could say this 1,000 times, like, it's never a copy and paste solution. Just because you've been involved in the men's games for the past 10, 20 years doesn't mean that those things can directly correlate to the women's games. Again, because as we said, they're at different places, and you can't just broad stroke. You can't just say, you know what, I'm going to take this ad and I'm just going to copy it to, you know, women's programming. And I think that there is also a balance of that, because we also don't need to pinkwash everything that's going to happen during women's games. It is really understanding who your audience is, leaning into that audience, and making sure, as you said, Emma, that it's authentic to who those viewers are going to be. And so you can't just show up to show up. You can't copy and paste. And you certainly do not need to go to that extreme and have everything be pink and hyper feminine, because then again, we're just missing the mark then. And then we're just stereotyping at that point, which it's not going to be effective in terms of how it's received on the consumer side.
So there's this global sports event coming up this summer, you know, the Olympics. What should brands be thinking about when it comes to women and the Olympics?
I mean, this is a really exciting time. I mean, Paris 2024 is going to be the first Olympics that is going to be a 50-50 even split ratio between male and female athletes, which is a really big deal. Tokyo 2020 was only 49% female athletes. So I think there's going to be a massive spotlight on this event. I think that this is sort of, again, especially for what's happened in this year so far and last year, and this momentum that's just been continuing to grow, that this will be a perfect opportunity for brands to get involved, make that move, to show up and be there for female athletes.
I think the Olympics is such a unique time because a lot of it, there are team sports, but a lot of it is individual based, right? Like, you are performing as an individual. It's like individual excellence. And I think as brands that want to play in that space, it's really understanding what makes that specific athlete unique, what makes them powerful, what makes them excel, you know, at the highest level of this thing that has probably been a part of their entire lives. And so I think it's going beyond the surface level, going beyond just being a presenting sponsor, and really doing the work to show who that athlete is, show what's important to them, show kind of beyond the gold medal, right? And allow consumers to connect. And I think we've said connect a couple of times, but I think that is what we see when it comes to sports in general, is consumers, like, sports are a part of their identity. They want to be closer to the athletes. They want to be closer to the fabric of whatever game or event that it is. And I think the brands that do it really well during the Olympics and beyond the Olympics will serve as the bridge to that, right? Like, they have so much power in that connection, and the more that they can bridge it and bring consumers closer, the more effective it's going to be.
Any last thoughts or comments that either of you want to make about this really fascinating conversation?
I'm just really excited to see the next two steps in terms of women's sports, but also opportunities for brands. I mean, I feel like even this January with the Professional Women's Hockey League becoming a thing, I feel like there's just going to be so many more innovative steps moving forward. And again, with that opportunity comes great exposure, comes just greatness. So I think this is going to be a really exciting time.
I absolutely agree. And I would just close by saying it's such a huge opportunity for brands, because people who are passionate about women's sports, people who are leaning in and watching and engaging and going to the games, they notice when a brand shows up and shows up in a really cool way. And I think that is so impactful as brands are trying to cut through the noise. They're facing hyper fatigue online. Like, how do you grab someone's attention and do it in a positive way? And I think that women's sports are kind of a through line to that, when we can show up and do it in a way that is adding to that experiencing, adding to kind of those sports, those engagements, those games, because you will get noticed when you do it correctly, because it's just, it's never really been done before. So it's kind of like, hey, I appreciate this attention that you, brand, are putting on this sport that I care so passionately about. So I think it's just a huge opportunity. And if you miss the boat, you're going to miss the boat for a long time.
And just as it feels like now is the time with brands doing it well, consumers saying, as you said, I get this. I see you. I see what you're trying to do. Exactly the same thing happens when they get it wrong. Isn't that the case too?
Oh, absolutely. Oh, I could probably talk about this for another 30 minutes, Lynn. When you do it wrong, or you broad stroke it, or you just check a box, then, I mean, I think across advertising in general, consumers are so aware of that. And it's like, don't do that. You know, like, just don't. Because it just hampers, like, the impact that, like, you could have driven for your brand, for your product, for your service. And I think it's even, like, small things, right? Like, I love the State Farm Caitlin Clark partnership. I think it's fantastic and has really grown as they've kind of developed that relationship. But the very first commercial they ever did with her, like, she's wearing so much makeup, more makeup than I've ever seen her wear in her life. Like, even like when she got drafted, she was wearing less makeup. And so that's kind of where, like, that through line, as someone who is actively engaged in the game, like, loves Caitlin Clark, I see that and I'm just like, this is weird. I'm like, who approved this? And so I think it's understanding those nuances and those details and not trying to pinkwash. And like, they don't put that much makeup on Travis Kelce and Patrick Mahomes, like, you know? And so I think it's just a huge opportunity, and it's the little things that will also get picked up on. So it's important to lean in and, like, really lean in.
Well, we've talked about a lot of really fascinating things and some great opportunities for brands. I think what really stands out to me so far to be thinking about is, when it comes to women's sports, that brands have got to be authentic, thoughtful, and intentional. The importance of building relationships and helping to nurture the players and nurture the league and being as high touch as possible is what's needed right now when it comes to women's sports, and for companies to make those connections now that will serve them very well in the future. So I want to thank everyone who's listening in. But remember that the conversation doesn't end here. Head over to Mintel's LinkedIn and Instagram and let us know what you think, because we'd love to hear about it. We'd like to hear your thoughts on this episode and this topic and any other topics you might be interested in. If you want to know more about Mintel, visit Mintel.com and sign up to become a member of the free Mintel Spotlight community. And make sure you never miss an episode by subscribing on iTunes, Spotify, or wherever it is you get your podcasts. Goodbye for now. We'll catch you next time for a new episode of Mintel Little Conversation.